gets bright out, it's going to get warm out. It's going to get cold, as Derek already said. It's going to go cold again, just in time for Memorial Day. Then it's supposed to get warm again. Who knows what the weather's doing? It has been a roller coaster the last several months. But it is sunny today, and I don't know. Do you like sunny days? Do you? You like sunny days? Who likes cloudy days? There you go. Yeah, some of us like some cloudy days. Yeah. Sometimes when I am, like, down the shore, down, you know, the beach or whatever, you know, sometimes the sun's so crazy, and sometimes I just want that little bit of a cloud covering just to, like, hey, you know, we don't have to feel like we're getting roasted, you know. But sun is nice, and we need the sun, and it's important. And there's a song that probably everybody knows. You've heard it, whether you actually know, you know, even who the author was or the group that initially performed it was. It's one of the most streamed songs, and it is very, very recognizable, and you hear it in a lot of advertising and so forth. And it's a song written by George Harrison of the Beatles called Here Comes the Sun. Right? I'm not going to sing it. Do, 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 do. I think most recently, and one of the reasons that I heard it recently is there's a commercial, and I think it's for a medication, you know, for Alzheimer's or something, and they play that in the background, and kind of like that's the whole idea, the light will come back and the sun will come back out if you're, you know, suffering with that. That is a terrible disease, you know, but yeah, it's a song we've all heard, and but maybe you do or do not know the backstory to that song, because it's a song that, you know, it's kind of a happy song. Yeah, here comes the sun, and we're like, hey, yeah, you know. And the song was, even though it sounds very carefree, was written by George Harrison at a time of really, really, really personal darkness in his life. He wrote it in, I think, 1969, and he had, you know, tons of burdens. There was the point where, you know, the manager of the Beatles had died. And many of you know the story. Their story's been told so many times. The band was fracturing. He had actually left the group for, you know, a short time until they eventually, shortly thereafter, broke up fully. But he was facing all kind of legal troubles. His mother was terminally ill. He was trapped in what seemed to be like endless meetings, not only with the band and the group and all that kind of stuff, but he was like having his legal troubles. So he was going to things with accountants and attorneys, and he just got to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. And one morning he had another whole round of meetings that were on his, you know, schedule, and he blew them off. He took off. He couldn't do it. And he went, apparently, I think, to Eric Clapton's house, and as he was, I guess, just trying to escape. Supposedly, the story goes, they're walking through the garden, and any of you know who have visited England, they have some very dreary days and dreary, heavy winters. And it was a dreary, heavy winter, and he was walking out. But as he walked outside in the garden, the sun broke through. And the sun's rays hit his face. And at that moment, as the story goes, he picked up, he borrowed a guitar. He didn't even have his own, borrowed a guitar. And he said, out from him poured the song, Here Comes the Sun. You know, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Here comes the sun, I say, all right. The reality of darkness in our lives is universal. And it doesn't always have to be an intense darkness. It doesn't always have to be from some earth-shattering situation that we go through. Sometimes there's just a pervading darkness that's just in our lives. Things that just hang over our heads. Things that are just going on. And it may be accumulation of a bunch of different things, but we feel the darkness and the heaviness of darkness. And, you know, darkness can actually have a feeling, and it feels very oppressive and heavy at times. And that's why many times, you know, the nighttime is some of the worst times for so many people. And it's just, can I get through the night? Can I just get through this night? And then, you know, the morning, maybe, you know, things will be a little bit better. But we all go through seasons, or some people go through them more than others. And you know, grief, depression, you know, anxieties and failures of things and uncertainties and, you know, things that happen to us, things that we create, that we're dealing with our own mess. I mean, it just comes. And it's there, and we just feel the darkness often in our lives. So we all know the long, cold nights, the lonely winters, the times that we're just trapped. And sometimes it could just be the busyness and the hecticness of life, you know, just the, how hectic life becomes. And it just seems to just always be there. See, and he went through his time, which probably wasn't the only time in his life, but he went through this intense time then. And he found relief walking through that garden and feeling the sun break through the clouds and hit his face. And he found that relief to the point where this song poured out of them. I'm sure the song was a balm to him just to get something creative out there and to speak about the situation. And it gave him hope. But the thing is, we know something that, from what I know about George Harrison's life, he never found out. Though he looked for a lot of answers in the spiritual realm, he never came to what it seems to be a knowledge of the truth. And if we understand something, darkness, however it is pervading our life or prevailing in our life, that darkness is never going to be fully, you know, taken away by a change of circumstances or a change in the weather. See, we're not waiting for a change in the weather to finally say, hey, it's nice out, all my problems are going away. We're waiting for a person. We're waiting for someone. You know, we want to look today into God's Word about how we all should, and we probably know some of this, and I want to actually talk about that for a moment, but how we know some of these things, but how we navigate the dark times, the darkness. How do we navigate the situations of just life? And again, I don't want you to think, hey, right now things are good because I don't have anything real super heavy on me. But I'm going to tell you, there are areas in your life now that are dark. There's areas of your life now that are there. And it's kind of like just even creeping around, even in the edges. You know, it's almost like, you know, one of my favorite, you know, weather terms, you know, partly sunny or partly cloudy. When do they know it's partly cloudy versus partly sunny? You know, I say, huh, you know, I guess if you're an optimist or a pessimist, right? Oh, it's really partly cloudy today. You're a pessimist. Oh, it's partly sunny today. Oh, you're the optimist, whatever. But it's in our life. We have a mixture, don't we? There's always things there. And it may be like Marianne, it might be a Phillies 10-game losing streak to start the season and do bad, and then they have to come back and win 10 games just to get back to 500. I mean, sometimes that's just like things. But whatever it is, it's there, always around. It's always around. Let's look at God's Word. Amen? To see how He and He alone can shine through the darkness and bring light to every aspect of our lives. A light that will not only dispel the temporary darkness, dispel the darkness temporarily, but a life that invades every area of our life, and a life that is eternal, a life that is permanent, a life that will permanently dispel all darkness for all eternity. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. So as we said, George Harrison found a little comfort by the sun shining on his face, but it seemed to go not much further in his life to finding the true answer. Peter addresses something in this particular part of his epistle. He actually, in the beginning of this epistle in 2 Peter, describes characteristics or aspects of a life, of a person. He's addressing Christians. That says that we know what the truth is. And if we're abiding in that truth, things are going well. And he says here, we're going to just jump down to verse 10 of chapter 1. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. So this is 2 Peter chapter 1. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. See, George Harrison went into, from what we know about his life, spirituality and Eastern mysticism and Hare Krishna and all that kind of stuff. So he knew that he needed more answers. He needed more than just the sun on his face for a few hours. But he was finding that and he looked for it in ways that he was never going to come to the truth. Never come to the true light. Peter is saying to us, we have to make sure, diligently, we have to make sure that we're diligent, that we know the truth, that our calling and our election is sure, that we know we're in the truth. See, Jesus said that, you know, or his word tells us that, you know, we have to make sure that the light that we think was in us, that is within us, that there's light, is not really darkness. See, many times we think, I found the light, but what we're doing is we're following a light and it's really a train coming at us at 100 miles an hour ready to run us over. Oh, I found the light. Boom, until it smacks you in the face. We have to make sure we're in the true light. He says, so if you do these things, these characteristics, if they're a part of your life, you're not going to stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied for you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, if you live in a way that you have these characteristics, that means you're in the truth. So continue to abide in this truth. Stay in this truth. And if you stay in this truth, yeah, you're going to have things that are going to try to trip you up, but you're never going to stumble to the place of falling. You may do a little trip here and there, but you're never going to stumble and to fall. He says, you will find yourself living a life that you will know it will take you in through this life all the way into the kingdom of God. Now Peter knew something that I have come to know that I kind of teased about when we were giving the announcements to say, okay, we gave these announcements, but give them back to me. Do you remember the dates? Do you remember the times? Do you remember what's going on? And you're saying, well, I remember part of it. So that's why we continue to do what? We continue to remind you. So Peter knows this about us, that we are prone to forget. I'm going to ask you to do that. Say it with me. We're prone to forget. Say it one more time. We are prone to forget. We are. Things that we know real well. But sometimes, even if we don't fully forget them, they go back to the recesses of our mind, and especially in stressful situations, we forget all about the things that we know to be true. So he says in verse 12, for this reason, I, meaning Peter, will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, for though you know and are established in the present truth. So I'm going to keep telling you. I want to keep reminding you. You know it. You've heard it before. But I have to tell you again. He doubles down on this. Yes, verse 13, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, meaning this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So in other words, I'm going to keep doing this until Jesus takes me home. And I love the way he says, I'm going to keep doing it to stir you up. That's the job of those who have the privilege of preaching, teaching God's word, and sharing God's word. It's to stir us up. If I'm not stirred up before I get up here, I don't want to stand up here. I got to have the Holy Spirit and others, and I love because so many speak into my life, and to have others speak into my life the word of God. So I'm reminded of these truths so that I get stirred up so that I can come and relay these truths to us. He says, I'm going to be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after I die, he says. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he's referring to something especially, and he says, look, it's not just that we made this stuff up. Or we hung around with Jesus and we figured after he died, we want to keep this movement going. So let's make up a bunch of stories and tell people a bunch of stories about things that he did and miracles and words that he said. He says, no, we didn't follow fables. We followed the truth, and we followed the truth so much that we saw the truth in him, and he, along with James and John, had the privilege of seeing Jesus glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, we saw this eyewitness of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him, this again on the mountain, from excellent glory, that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were on him with them in the holy mountain. He says, we were eyewitnesses not only of his teachings, not only of his miracles, but we had the privilege of going up that mountain where he was transfigured and he outshone the sun. He was brighter than the sun, and even more so, they had the privilege of hearing the voice of the Father say, this is my Son. In him I am well pleased. Listen to him. See, this morning, if you're looking for the answers to the darkness in your life, listen to Jesus. Listen to his word. See, and Peter goes on in verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. See, we have the word of God. You see, all God's word is prophecy. It's spoken forth from God. We are privileged to have this word in a manner by which we can read it and study it and meditate on it and memorize it and hold it close. And I hope you are. And I hope you just don't do those practices, but I hope that that word, you know, registers deep within your heart. And as you hear a message like this today, that you are reminded of the truths that you know. And maybe some of you are hearing some of these truths for the first time. So you're hearing it. I want you to remember. And you will be reminded again that we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, listen to, as a light that shines in the dark place. How long until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts? That means every day we keep the word of God, the true word of God, in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, in our being. We read it, we meditate it, we just chew on it, we just live it out, we do it. We don't just say, aha, this is a great moment, but I'm going to do it and live this word out in my life. And when we do that, we know that each and every morning, we don't, doesn't matter how dark the night was before, the day star, which is Jesus Christ himself, will rise in our hearts. There's always the sunrise. No matter how dark your Friday is, which may last into a Saturday, early on the Sunday morning, the sun rises. Jesus rises in your heart. And there is a time coming when he will rise. You know, when I say rise, he will cause us to rise with him, because he is already risen. He's at the right hand of the Father, but he will come to take us to himself. And we will see, if you will, the day star arise for all eternity, never to be separated from him. That's a promise that we have. You say, well, that's great promise, but I've been a Christian 40 years and I'm still waiting for that promise. Yeah, hold on to it, because every day you hold on to it in faith, the day star will arise in your heart today. And then one day you will see the promise face to face, the promise of Jesus Christ. We will do well to heed the word of God. We will do well to obey the word of God. We will do well to live the word of God. We need to pay attention to the word, because the word is light unto us. What, you know, the word, you know, I'll maybe give some scriptures in a moment. So many times the word is like a lamp unto our feet, right? A light unto our path. It lights the dark places. And it's a light that shines in every dark place in every person's life. Pay attention to the light. Pay attention to the word of God. Live your life by faith in the Son of God and his word. And that day star will rise continually in your heart. Turn with me real quickly to another Bible story. This one comes from John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, you know there's this woman. And she was brought to Jesus. Jesus is teaching in the temple area. He's teaching. He's doing amazing, you know, things and saying such amazing words in these, you know, chapters from John, from 6 all the way on. I mean, you know, all of God's word is amazing. But didn't hear, he's saying so many amazing things. And in the midst of that, they drag this woman. They said, she was committing adultery. We caught her in the very act. You know what the word says? She should be killed. You know, Jesus stooped down, listening to them rage and rail at this woman, who, by the way, was, like everybody, a sinner, caught in a very, very sinful act. Writing in the ground, saying those famous words, you know, ye without sin, he was without sin, cast the first stone. As all the accusers departed, we picked the story up in chapter 8 of John, verse 10. When Jesus raised himself after he was writing on the ground and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Where do they go? All the ones that were screaming and yelling and foaming at the mouth to kill you, to stone you, where are they now? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This woman had a darkness prevailing in her life. Probably was in darkness way before they had either set her up or used her as their pawn in this thing to try to trip Jesus up. Whatever it was, this lady had darkness in her life, and she was now caught and exposed in that darkness, and the darkness got worse because now she is having the howling crowd saying, she must die, she must die, she must be stoned. She was going through a real dark time. When all of the howling of the world and her accusers were not there, she was actually then standing upon in front of the only one who could truly accuse her and condemn her. Jesus knew her. Jesus never, ever, 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 ever says, hey, girl, don't worry about it. We're all human. What you did, don't worry about it. It's fine. Just don't, you know. No. He acknowledges her sin. He knows she's a sinner. And she knows she's a sinner. And I could imagine at that point, in the deep recesses of her soul, in the darkness that was prevailing in her life at that moment, she probably realized when she said to him, no one, Lord, that she was standing in front of somebody special. See, and Jesus doesn't say, again, sin's no big deal. Society's just rigid. You know what? Oh, you know, you have needs and da-da-da-da-da, all that kind of nonsense. No, he acknowledges her sin, but he says to her, I don't condemn you now either, but go and sin no more. See, this woman in the darkest part of her life, which may have been a very dark life, for all we don't know much about her backstory, was standing in front of someone who in a short time was going to take her sin and the sin of everybody else in this world, the sin that actually brings darkness into our life. Remember, God created us, and he created us perfect without sin, and he created us in a way to live forever, that the sun would always be shining, that we would never have a bad day. You would wake up every morning, even if we had to sleep, I don't even know, you know, and we would just every day, and you wouldn't gain an ounce, and no matter what you ate, and you would have bad breath, and your hair would never be messed up, and it was like, oh, this is great, it's like, oh, it's great, the sun is always shining. But sin came into the world and brought all the darkness with it. And she was standing in front of the one who was going to take her sin and her guilt upon himself. The only one that had the real right to condemn her. But he says, I don't condemn you. But go and sin no more. He sent her away with a call to stop her sin. To continue to stop in regard to that sin, any sin, to go away and live a different life, because he knew within himself he had the ability to not only to forgive her sin, but to give her the power to live a life so she was no longer walking in darkness. He recognized what the woman had done was sin. He says, stop sinning. He called it sin, what it was. He told her, you know, repent. Go, don't sin anymore. Don't continue to sin. He gave her hope that even in the midst of her sin and in the darkness that was pervading her life, because at that moment, beside even being stoned, now that she was now called out as an adulteress, she was going to have to now live the life with that tag if it was never called out before by anybody. And now she may have gone home and her husband was going to divorce her, and who knows what was going to happen in her life. She had all this, but he gave her hope to speak against her sin and her shame and her darkness that was likely to overwhelm her life. She needed that hope. She needed a ray of sunshine. She needed a ray of the sun of God in her life. And he became that to her. It says in the next verse that Jesus, and if you take John's context and the chronological writing of the Gospel of John, it's sometimes hard to follow the timing in John. But if you take this particular scene here in order, Jesus was teaching the people and the religious crowds and everybody else. And in the midst of the teaching, they threw this woman into the midst. And he says all this. He has this encounter with her in front of everybody. And when the encounter is over and she walks away, we assume she walks away, he now turns to the same people that he was teaching before. And he says to them in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He was saying to the woman, he was saying to the crowd, he was saying to the accusers, he was saying to anybody else who would listen, that listen, there is darkness, and the darkness is due to the things not only that happen to us, but the things that we do ourselves. We live in a dark world, and it's a world of sin, but I am the light. I am the light. You know, it's interesting. This was all taking place around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And one of the things they would do with the Feast of Tabernacles is they would have a ceremony where especially it would take place, interestingly enough, in the court of the women that was outside, you know, the place where the men can go was outside. And they would bring these candles and these light fixtures in, if you will, and they would illuminate the temple from the outside. It was a custom, especially during the first night, and sometimes they did it every night, but especially the first night, to light up this whole outside of the temple, and the women would come and dance with the light. Now that light was speaking, whether they knew it or not, to the light that came to would come to them from God, but that light was the one who was standing before them right now. And he says to them, I am the light. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. See, his word is a light, as I said earlier, a light and a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The light of Christ shines brightly into the darkest places. And since Jesus is the Word of God, meaning he's the one who created all things, so he created the actual physical light, he created the sun and all the stars, he created those things, but he is the one who is brighter and greater than all those things he created himself, but he is the only one that is external lights that he created can never penetrate into the heart and the soul of a human being, but Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, can penetrate into the darkest places of the human soul. And his light will penetrate. Because you know something, whether you heard this before or not, I want to remind you of something or tell you for the first time. The heart of man is dark and is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says. But Jesus knows it. And he knows the darkness that is pervading within our hearts, in our souls. And he says his light can shine even into the darkest places. See, the religious leaders at that time, right? They were always pushing back at that thought, you know, of that. They wanted to have their own system of bringing light. The same thing of this world today. This world wants to try to bring us, whether it's through some kind of, you know, new medicine to help a chronic disease, whether it's through some psychological thing or some type of, you know, other form of you know, philosophy or just, you know, bringing endless entertainment to us or just be happy. Don't worry, be happy, or whatever it happens to be. It's always trying to bring us that there's a way that we can dispel the darkness that is deep within us, but it cannot. Only the light of Jesus Christ himself. See, they pushed back on him. If you read the rest of this chapter, they all pushed back on you. Who are you? Why are you saying this to us? Blah, 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 blah. How could you make these claims? All this kind of stuff. They pushed back. And Jesus says in verse 31 of the same chapter, then Jesus said to them who would listen to him, in other words, that believed him, not the prevailing religious, you know, rhetoric, not the prevailing world system, not all of that. He says, you know, to the ones who believe him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth of God's word and his alone is the light that is needed in everyone's life to dispel the darkness, listen to me clearly, that is within all of us. Live in the light. Receive the light. Let the light dispel. The light is so wonderful. Malachi chapter 4 says this, many of you know this, but to you who fear my name, the sun, now it says S-U-N, right? The sun, but is really a reference to the S-O-N sun. The sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. See, the light of Christ, the light of Jesus, the light of our Creator God, who wants to come and bring that light into the most dark recesses of our life, he is the one who can bring healing. He's the one who brings hope, but he is the sun of righteousness. And we only can be made righteous through him. And when he comes into our life, all of our sin, all of those things that have caused the darkness to be so present into our lives, he not only will dispel, but he will dispel it permanently. Because his healing, or healing comes from him. Imagine this. Imagine going out on a real bright sunny day and saying, I think I need to help the sun out. So I'm going to take out my flashlight and shine it around to see if we could see better with my little flashlight. I don't care how bright your flashlight is, you're not going to outshine the sun. See, that's what we tend to do when we think that in some other ways we can bring light into those dark places. No, we could only bring a little pen light that maybe puts a little speck. We could only get a little warmth on our face and maybe play a song that becomes a hit record. You know, all those things are only temporary small parts of light. But there is a light that is greater than all of that, and it is the Son of Righteousness, Jesus. And Jesus himself will bring healing. He will bring hope so that we can live this life. So as Psalm 30 verse 5 says, for his anger against us because of our sin comes for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's the light of the world. That's the light of Jesus Christ. So he said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, not just listen, hear it with your ears, but you hear it to the point where it registers, and then not only does it register, but it comes deep down, and you let that light pervade even to those darkest places. He says, if you believe him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you abide in the word of God, you welcome it. You're at home with it. You're living with it continuously. It becomes that word that is alive. And it's not just a word that you hear and then forget in the first moment you hear it, but you hear it and you receive it, and it becomes part of who you are, and you begin to now live that life so that the light of Christ shines into the darkness of your life, but then that same light that is now in you will now begin to shine through you. Because we are agents of that light into this world today. The church is the vehicle that God is using to bring the light into the darkest places. We have a privilege of not only receiving that light, but shining that light that is his light. We are not responsible to create the light. If you think you can create the light and make people happy because the light you bring into them, then you're bringing actual darkness to them. Bring the light of Christ into every situation you go, no matter where it is, no matter where you find yourself. Let the light of his life shine through you. And there's nothing that can put that light out. Nothing. And there's nothing like the freedom of the light of Christ. See, darkness is oppressive, but the light is freedom. No money can buy it. No status can attain it, right? We can't earn it. We can't match it with anything else. And it's tragic to all those who never come to the true light, who come maybe so far. But if you've come to that light, I pray today that that light now would begin to shine again. And you're being reminded of the light that is within you. Let the light of Christ shine. And then bring his light everywhere you go, that others may know the truth and be set free. Father, thank you this morning for a reminder Lord, not about the darkness. We don't need to be too reminded of that because it is so pervasive, but a reminder of the light, your light, the light, the true light that has come into the world. Father, I pray today for us, those who call themselves yours, that we are sure, and we would make sure, as Peter says, that our calling and election is sure, that the light within us is your light. Father, if we've been fooling ourselves that we got religion, or that we got something else, then Lord, I pray that that would be dispelled by this word this morning. And that, Father, we would recognize today that the light is not really the true light. And that we would repent and turn from that light and come to the one, the true light, the light that comes from you alone. You are the light of the world, Jesus. You not only created the physical light, but you bring a light that is even greater into the light of every person who would believe upon your name, who would call upon you. Lord, I pray today for ourselves. I pray that we would be in the light and that we would know that light more and more each day, that the light would grow and abound within us. And that light, Lord God, would not only dispel any remaining darkness within us, but that light would be so bright that we would, Lord, no longer have a bushel over it. But we would live in such a way that your light would shine from us, from our lives. And that we can go out amongst this world into chaos, in the darkness, and shine a light that is the true light, so that others can find the truth and know the truth and be set free and walk in the light and no longer walk in the darkness. So, Lord, I thank you for those who are hearing this for the first time today. I pray they would receive it and come and repent of their sin and receive the finished work of the cross being washed in your blood, and the light would shine now in their hearts. The day star would arise for the first time. They are born again into your family. What a joy, Lord, that would be. And Lord, I pray for ourselves again, that we would be reminded of things that we may have forgotten, to let that light shine within us today and shine through us today. So Lord, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for the promise that your word will never return void. And thank you for the promise today that as we are in you, we have eternal life in your light. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and let the light shine this morning as we sing together. Declare the light of Christ in our lives today.